Really?
Yes.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Anytime you're ready.
Okay. What's up, Colin Douglas fans? This is Sean Long of Transformers Matrix here at BotCon 2009.
We're boning, ladies and gentlemen, here on WTF at TFW, because we've got some guest action going on. We are double Canadian, and our maple syrup is hot and bubbling. My name is Vangelis, and I will be with you today. But I'm not alone. With me as well, and thus with you as well, are Gogdog.
Hello.
And Seth Buzzard from the Coit Towers area.
Hello.
And because Drew is off at Wizard World Chicago, we've got a special guest who has not been on for a while. This is the one and only Super Underscore Megatron.
What's up, hosers?
Not much, eh? Are you wearing plaid?
I am. I just got back from a match of curling. It was great.
Oh, excellent. I love the Toronto Rough Riders.
Yeah, well, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders versus the Ottawa Rough Riders. There's only like 8 teams.
Yeah.
In the Canadian Football League, but so 2 of them have to be named the Rough Riders.
Hey, there's a rumor you guys might get Michael Vick in the Canadian football teams.
Yeah,
one of the teams might sign Michael Vick. So, lock up your dogs.
Well, my poor dog. I'm not going to let her off the leash anymore. We had, what's his name? Ricky Williams, the pothead up here for a year as well.
Oh.
You must have heard about that harsh BC chronic or whatever Vangelis was bragging about.
It is the BC superweed, which is higher on the U.S. government threat list than the Taliban, I will have you know.
That explains Vangelis a lot, actually.
Yeah. Maybe. But
weed.
Aside from the CFL, Michael Vick, Coit Towers, DJ Cripplefingers, and the BC Superweed, we are going to talk to you today about Transformers as well, because we're a Transformers podcast. And our first topic...
You wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah. But... we want to take you by surprise. Our first topic, though, is about Revenge of the Fallen, because somehow we're not done talking about that. The Udvar Hazy Center is presenting a Cold War Toys for Boys thing about Revenge of the Fallen, and I think they have movie props on display. I've actually had a lot of trouble figuring out what the hell this is about. That's why I made it a topic, because I was hoping one of you guys could tell me. I saw a topic that said, at the Udvar Hazy Center, at the Smithsonian, there are like Jetfire prototypes and other things on display. And now they're having this $15 for 15 minutes lecture about Cold War Toys for Boys Transformers. So, what is this? And if you don't know, please make an entertaining guess. So, Gog, what is it?
Well, what it looks to me is just a way to use the PR from the movie to maybe get people interested in going back to the Smithsonian. I don't know. I don't know if the Smithsonian is hurting for an audience or what have you, but I was looking at the pictures, and I was, every time I saw like the back of the hangar, I was like, I wonder if that opens into a vast desert. maybe they put out like a giant prop desert.
For the sake of continuity.
As far as the eye can see. But looking at the pictures, it looked cool. Like, they had, they were tying it in to the aircraft and stuff. Like, they would have, a movie Voyager Starscream, along with, like, design sketches. And then they showed, like, classic Starscream. Then they showed G1 Starscream. And it was, like, showing the evolution from the G1 characters to the movie characters. And it was neat. They did the same thing with Jetfire, too. They actually had... a G1 Jetfire. It was kind of hard from the picture I saw because half his body was cut off, but it looked like a full G1 Jetfire, the VF1S Valkyrie version, the Bandai repaint. And then they had a classics 2006 Classics Jetfire and then Movie Jetfire.
And they also have the Wheelie car, and they have one of Wheelie's feet, and the thing that I think was used to poke his eye out. So Wheelie's getting some coverage there too.
Oh no, they had the tongs that Michaela used to grab him and.
Oh okay. Oh yeah, she used down the, with. Yeah, she's the other thing to. I don't know. I only saw the movie once. I'm sorry, guys. Seth.
It's okay. I've only seen it once too.
Yeah, we're Canadian.
What's up with this Cold War Toys for Boys event?
Well, that's what I was hoping someone could tell me, because I don't understand what that means, because, like, I don't think Transformers
have... Is it like
a
bunch of Russians and stuff?
Yeah, I didn't think they had much of a connection to the Cold War myself, but...
Yeah, I mean, the SR-71 was Cold War era, but I thought it was just something that they made sound cool, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, it's like somewhat humorous and somewhat relevant.
I was wondering if it was going to be all, like, condemning of war toys, and it turns out it was put on by Volkswagen.
At the Smithsonian, where yeah. half their display is war vehicles? I really doubt it.
They're trying to take us by surprise. I don't know. Seth, what are your thoughts on this, and can you shed any more light as to what it may be talking about when they say Cold War toys for boys?
Well, I mean, it could be, like Gog just said, the tie-in with the SR-71 being a Cold War product. But then, you know, Transformers also debuted in the early 80s when, you know, it was the whole Reagan versus Gorbachev era of the Cold War. And we had all those kind of movies like the what was it, The Day After and Red Dawn and... And Rocky I guess you could make some connection that, like, there's an enemy in disguise kind of a correlation. I guess you could go that way with it. I think it's kind of a stretch tying Transformers into the Cold War, but it's just like, if they just went straight ahead and said, we're doing this cross-promotion thing because they shot part of the movie here with our SR-71... So here's related movie props and whatnot, then that would have been fine. I don't really know why they needed to do the whole Cold War aspect, because when that Star Trek movie was the Voyage Home or Return Home, the one where they go back in time and they have to find a whale. Yeah. Like all the aquarium scenes, like when Spock jumps in the huge tank with the whale, that was all shot at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And we went there after the movie came out, and they had kind of a similar deal going on where they had all kinds of Star Trek props and whatnot because they shot part of the movie there. So, I mean, I'm sure that's why they're doing it, why they had to try to make it a Cold War thing. I don't understand. Whatever. Like,
yeah.
Whatever makes them happy. There's probably somebody that works there. Like, there's probably a curator there that's still, like, got a total hate on for Russia. And he's like, the kids today don't know. Well, they gotta know.
It's gonna be
they gotta know about the Red Menace.
It's gonna be presided by Dick Daso. So maybe Dick Daso is all like, this is my chance to get back at the Red Threat.
Yeah, that Putin's still one of them. I knows it. The kids gotta know.
Well, Vangelis, being the only one out of us four that didn't grow up in the Cold War, I mean, I can understand why you're a little...
Yeah,
not understanding of what's going on, but
I'm all
I think
naive
the rest of us, it's just ingrained into us from our childhood years.
It's because Vangelis is only 13 years old.
That's right. I'm new to this, Big Brothers, so tell me about it. Hey, Super Megatron, what are your thoughts on this Smithsonian exhibit?
Yeah,
being
you're
Canadian,
old.
Being
tell
Canadian,
us about the Cold War.
If it doesn't have anything to do with Timbits, Montreal smoked meat, or... poutine, I don't really know anything about it.
Are you tempted to make a trek out to the Smithsonian?
Canada's like, Cold War? What?
Yeah, what happened
then? The only thing we know about war, that's where all the Americans go and they don't want to fight. That's the only reason why we know there's a war going on is because there's mass exodus.
People don't hate us.
Oh yeah, back in the 70s, them American folk, they came and built some they built some radars up here, but we didn't know nothing about no Russias.
No Russias. Okay.
Well, Sarah Palin can see Russia from her house, right? So
Alaska.
Yeah. Hey, there used to be a land bridge.
She knows all about it.
Sweet.
Oh, she's not in charge anymore up there, though. She stepped down.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well.
We'll get into that.
I guess that we've covered everything we can about Cold War toys for boys and the potential years-long grudge held by Dick Daso. So I invite Dick Daso to contact us and come on the podcast so we may discuss further his motivations behind this venture. For now, let's move along to new pick picks. And hopefully we won't have a cold war over who gets to talk about something first. So I'm going to say I'm going to say, Seth, what's your picture pick of the week?
Well, I'm going to go for the, RoboBuzz? Toy model pre-orders are open for a transforming articulated commuter bus, which is pretty rad. Like, I take a bus every day to and from work, because that's how I roll.
Public transit.
Representing. And articulated buses are cool, because they have, like, an accordion piece in the middle, and they flex. And they're neat. And I've always kind of wanted there to be a bus transformer. Like, when a RID was happening, I had a rough concept for how to kit bash Ultra Magnus into a bus. I never did it, but I kind of had an idea about going about doing it. So I'm pretty stoked. I hope it's not like
$200. Does it actually look articulated? Does it have that accordion in the middle of it?
Yeah. Well, according to the YouTube video, little computer animation of it rolling out, it's an articulated bus.
Because when I look at the package, it doesn't. Yeah, when I look at the toy, it doesn't look like it's got the flex in it.
It might just be sculpted in, but I don't think that it's clear yet what materials the guy's using.
Yeah, I'll be kind of surprised if the toy articulates, but
yeah,
that it's the coolest of the types of buses.
I like
that's pretty cool.
I'm kind of running the video right now, and I could see where the articulated portion is, and it looks like it's around his knees.
Yeah, I like how he's kind of using it as like above a knee his joint. Knees.
I can totally imagine Buzz sitting there on the bus with his bus, sitting there rolling it up and down the bus, making little bus noises and stuff, and everybody sitting there staring at him.
Beep, beep, beep.
I'd pay money to see that.
Well, how much? Maybe we can make this happen, if the price is right. Come on.
I got to see the quality of the video first.
Okay.
Well, if we take a video...
So you could rip me off.
Can I put it on my page?
I'm definitely going to rip you off. I think what we should do is take a trip down to Buzzard Land and do this. A full video crew and everything.
Just so long as, like, I'm taking the video and I can put it on my channel where I have my ads on so, you know, I can make a little scratch. This endeavor.
Of course. It'll pay for our trip down there.
Because putting up a video of a guy playing with a toy on a bus is totally going to make us like $3,000.
That's money. That equals green right there.
That's right.
Well, if it gets Doug, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll get Doug by dig.com, and then you'll get like 10,000 views in 50 seconds.
We're counting on you, listeners, to dig our bus-on-bus video.
Yeah.
All right?
That sounds kind of dirty.
But that's the cycle
There's another
of life.
Kind of video. That's a different kind of crowd.
That's the one I put on RedTube.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Might have to Ido 11 that sucker.
That's not a swear word. Just don't go there, kids. Don't go to RedTube.
Impressionable youths are going to look at it, and then their mothers are going to walk in and be like, what the hell? It's all Vangelis told me to. And they're going to be like, who the hell is Vangelis? And then, you know, trouble.
Well, you know, it's how we grow up.
Imagine all the hate email you're going to get from people's 13-year-old kids' moms.
Yeah, they're going to be like, we can't believe you picked on Twilight and Harry Potter and sent us to RedTube, you horrible man.
And, well, then the parents, will be, what the hell are you looking at? And the kid's going to turn around and go, pelvis first! And then it's really on.
If that happens, I would be so proud of that kid. I'm just going to say it right now, you know, and I don't mean this to be a bad influence, but I would be so proud of that kid.
Yeah, all underage children listening.
Be sure to
watch
tell
porn
your parents
and yell pelvis first.
WTF at TMW. It's how you learn to get laid.
Bus on bus. Have Coitus Towers.
Top 10 WTF at TFW pickup lines for high school or middle school.
I refuse to believe anyone out there would take us as some kind of guide.
You should have a supplemental.
How to get laid.
How to use Transformers to get laid.
Number one, transform them really slow.
Pull out that bus.
On the topic of pulling out your bus, Super Ooh. Megatron, what is your picture pick this week?
I don't know. The only picture that really looks kind of cool to me is that Japanese Revenge Soundwave.
Oh, the black one.
Yeah.
Red one.
Pretty cool looking, I thought. It seems like there hasn't really been a whole lot of new stuff, probably because we've had the big San Diego
Comic-Con
blowing of our loads, and then everything has pretty much been leaked other than like simple repaints and stuff,
or like the picture the picture of a cell phone with a picture on it, which I thought was sort of funny. Hey guys, look, I got this picture. I took a picture of
a cell
phone.
Check out this teaser
so you can see the picture.
Yo, dog.
Well, I wasn't allowed to
stolen pictures, so we took a picture of your picture.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre of a way of leaking an image.
I've got to congratulate China on once again attempting to reinvent and divide by zero the idea of stolen Chinese toy pictures by. Now, not even showing us the picture, but showing us a facsimile
of
the
picture.
In the
future, I'm going to have to take a picture of a guy taking a picture of a picture as a teaser.
Well, I'm hoping that soon we're going to get to the point where it's a mugshot of, like, Yiji just smiling at the camera, and then a post underneath saying, this is a picture of me describing the picture I just saw.
Well, I mean, there's that belief that a lot of those stolen Chinese pictures are blurry intentionally, so the people buying it could be the first one with good pictures. So maybe somebody wants to be the first one to provide the blurry picture.
So we're going to provide a blurry picture of a blurry picture.
Yeah.
So that
that may be the competition all along. We wonder why we get all these weird blurry pictures. They have bets of who can have the worst picture get the most press.
This guy's like, I'm going to take a picture of my own cell phone.
They're actually using like $2,000 SLRs, but they take this piece of like warped plexiglass in front of it, and it's with dust and rust dust all over it. It's like
here's some muddy water. This is too clean. The plexiglass. Spit on it.
That's the whole meta game in China.
There's another pickup line there too.
It feels like there's some kind of, like not just even a metagame, but just like some kind of unspoken thing where like this one sector of China is somehow just making fun of the entire online fandom. They're like, what are we going to do next? I don't know. Let's try putting a cloth over the toy and just showing them a picture of what it looks like underneath
Let's
something.
Show them some leg.
they have a password protected forum called Look at Those North American Idiots. They'll show us like, they'll show us like one blurry picture and like how thousands of grown men drool over it all in unison, and they're like, "Yeah, those guys are something else, all right."
I bet they got a podcast about it too. All they do is they read through the threads and translate them into whatever language of choice the podcast may be in. And
it's hosted on RedTube.
Yeah, it's hosted on RedTube. Like, oh, no one's gonna look here, and then all these kids are gonna show up on RedTube, like Angela sent us, and they're gonna be like, "You've broken our cartel." Damn you, Vangelis! Well, that was an interesting tangent. Hey, Gog, have you got a picture pick?
Yeah, Impossible Toys G1 RC.
Yeah,
it looks neat. One question, though. Has Impossible Toys made a transforming figure yet? Because I know they've made a lot of just regular action figures and kind of static figures. Have they done anything transforming before?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't believe so. I believe it's all been just static. And so this either has a lot of potential, I think.
Yeah, I like the vehicle mode, which is all we have seen thus far. But we'll see. I'm down with it. I wish them the best of luck. If it turns out well, I think I'd pick it up.
Going by their quintessons, I think there's a good chance this could turn out well. Like,
the quintessons turned out good, but you look at their animated figures, which are the more recent ones, and they didn't. Like, I saw them at BotCon, and they don't look good. Their animated figures actually look kind of awful.
I was going to say that, like, Impossible Toys, they have taken a big reputation hit because of how those animated figures turned out, just in my general experience hearing people talk about them. But I think that one could chalk that up to being, like, well, they were trying to make, like, 3D representations of, like, super stylized humans, so maybe, like, going back to robots will turn out better. Because I think the quintessons turned out really well. So I think there's a better chance that RC is going to be like those and less like the animated humans.
I hope so. I mean, I wish them luck. I want this to be good. I want it to be something that I want to get. So
let's cross our balls. Hope it's good.
Yeah, I have most of the quintessons.
Balls crossed.
The quintessons, pretty well happy
done
with them. Really, the only complaint that I've ever had was I could have used a couple more paint apps, but I don't have any reason to think that they're going to screw up RC.
I'm really looking forward to it. Like, that RC and the Night Morpher Commander are two things that I think are really excellent-looking third-party things coming down the road. So I hope they turn out well. And I'm also hoping that, because I know the Night Morpher whatever is coming out by the end of the year, I'm curious when Impossible Toys is hoping to get the RC out. Because if they get it out before December, I think it would turn out really well for them. Because it always seems like the... Going by last year, the journey of the city commander, it seems like October, November is a time to check that kind of thing out. I got to pick a picture. Oh my god.
You're thinking about Jeremy had something to say about the bus, didn't he? Didn't you want to say something about the bus?
It wasn't that big a deal. I was just going to say that Quinjester from the TFW boards he's been showing me pictures of this before the prototype was even shown, on another forum, Robot Japan. The guy who designed it has been talking about it before he even had a working prototype. I think he was showing sketches, and Quinjester's been drooling over this thing forever, and just like the day, like actually I think within the hour of when the prototype pics went up, he sent me like every picture. It was like, dude, I gotta have this. It was cool. I was actually surprised to see it on the TFW front page, but I think it deserves credit. Looks good.
Oh, definitely.
Might not be a Transformers brand, but it's definitely, you know, same genre.
If I'm going to pick something, I'm not going to pick Human Alliance Skids because I think that's what everyone thinks I'm going to pick. So I'm going to say I enjoyed watching the strange little journey of Star Convoy being an encore, and then it turns out it was just even more unsold reissue Star Convoys.
Yeah, that one didn't make any sense to me as to actually being reissued, because I remember that one being clearanced pretty bad.
Yeah, he was like the God Jinrai of that era of reissues, where it was like the toy that everyone wants, and then when they reissue it, it became kind of clear that everyone was actually not that many people, and there were a lot of leftovers.
Yeah, that surprises me, because whenever somebody would manage to find a Star Convoy, like a vintage one in the past, it always seemed to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially if the Hot Rod was involved. So I'm surprised people weren't buying it just to get the Hot Rod.
Yeah, that one and God Jinrai were what kind of, I don't know, this is a bad way to put it, but they kind of woke me up a little to how, like, there are old toys that lots of people want, but the lots of people might not actually be that many. And
yeah, that's exactly my thinking on it as well.
Actually, to be honest, I suspect, and I know I'm going to get heat for it. Oh, God. I think if they reissued Lyokaiser, the same thing would happen. Because there are a lot of people who want Lyokaiser, but aside from the people who really want Lyokaiser, and there are a lot of people, I think that's still only a couple hundred people. And if it was reissued like an encore,
vocal minority.
Yeah, it would very likely, I think, actually end up clearance. And I mean, that's not like, a bad thing, but like,
if it's only 200, I'd be in there because I would.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Reissue Lyokaiser.
I want them to reissue Sky Gary.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, screw Star Convoy. You reissue Sky Gary, and I'll be all over that.
Get the Brave version for pretty easy.
What I don't understand is why they haven't done a blue streak yet. It just blows my mind.
It's too obvious. Like,
it's like, I'm like, what are you guys thinking? What's wrong
I know.
With you?
Well, here's what they did. Instead of just doing a blue repaint, which you think would be the obvious thing, especially since Transformers are pretty much known for their simple repaints, they changed the name. He's Silver Streak now, at least in the U.S. So instead, they could have just repainted him, and instead they like. But no, I think I think they don't even have the name Blue Streak anymore, do they? Didn't they lose the rights to it or something? That's why they changed the name.
I was always surprised that eHobby, when they did their thing, I think didn't they do like instead of doing Blue Streak in blue, they did like anime accurate Blue Streak.
Yeah,
where they made him even more silver.
And they also did the all silver version as well.
Yeah.
Chrome silver.
They like went in every direction except blue, and they were just going like, no.
Well, maybe it's the deal where when they're brainstorming on what to do next, that's one of the things that always comes up, and they go, we could do that anytime. And then they just never get around to it.
Maybe they're trying to preserve the value of the blue Fairlady Z Diaclones or whatever.
Oh, like they care.
Oh, imagine if like it's like the guy, the top guy in Takara, and now like one of the execs of Tomy is this dude whose entire riches are based on his stock of blue Diaclone Fairlady Zs. He's like, yeah, no.
he has like 75 shell eBay accounts, and they all buy up every single Diaclone Blue Streak that you can find, and he refuses to reissue it because he's gonna have like this giant auction where he auctions off the entire world's supply of Diaclone Blue Streak, there's not a single one left in the world. And he's just going to make thousands of it.
He's already got them all. He, like, sells, like, one every year to, like, fund his, you know, his lifestyle for the rest of the year. Like, all right, it's August. It's time to sell that blue streak. All right, I've made about $3,000. I'm going to somehow live off this.
This is why I have a custom blue streak in my collection. Because of that damn Takara Tomy guy.
Yeah, I don't think he sells them. I think he's constructed a throne out of them.
I bet his name
and
is.
He sits on his throne.
I bet his name is something like Shinzo Aoi.
Ooh.
And he's like, he has like a really pointy goatee. That's fan art. Come on, let's go, guys. Listeners,
Over my head.
Draw a Shinzo Aoi on his throne of Diaclone blue streaks.
There is one other, when thinking of the G1 repaints, I am interested in the repaints of Skids and Crosscut from that Million Publishing. I'm probably going to buy them, just because I'm a G1 junkie, and I really haven't been doing a whole lot of collecting lately. I just haven't, the stuff that's been coming out on the U.S. side, you know, I don't even own a single Revenge of the Fallen toy. I just haven't been buying within, like, months.
Yeah.
I don't know why,
It might not have clicked.
I haven't really...
I've heard that from a couple people, like, that's why it's always kind of nice, because it's like either, you know, ooh, it's a cool new toy line, I'm way into this, or it's like, I'm not into this, now I finally have money to go back and, like, pick up all this vintage stuff I've been dreaming of for ages.
Well, with the Skids and the Crosscut, aren't those kind of meant to look like, you think... Skids and Mudflap from the movie?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool idea. Well, I was making sure, like, no, Gog Dog, that's a G1 reference from the Japanese continuity where, you know, and in fact, Skids and Mudflap are actually referencing them, you noob. Just want to make sure I avoided a situation like that.
There was never a green Skids before, that's for sure.
I'm sure Proto Man knows things we don't and probably could have strung together something like that, but
nah.
I'm just calling him out because he's not here.
To hell with him. To hell with him.
Oh.
To hell with all those GM Fan 101 guys and all those jerks over in Canada.
Too many memes.
Yeah. Screw Soundwave CA.
Well, the memes are in Japan.
And his lack of dot.
His lack of dot. The guy went all Web 4.0 on us. Sorry, Web 4.0 on us.
Web 40.
Actually, we're going to stick in a little topic here because I know Gog wanted to talk about it. Gog, you wanted to share a couple thoughts you had on the SDCC comic panel?
Well, no. Actually, it was All Hail Megatron 13.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess it all relates kind of. I'm guessing you meant the artwork that me and Aaron were making fun of quite loudly in the last podcast.
Anyone who hasn't read All Hail Megatron 13, you know, spoilers, but it's broken. It's basically two stories just kind of put together into one comic. But I just wanted to add a couple of things to what you guys said last week. For one, with the G1 Optimus with the mouth, wasn't that already done? In G2, he had a mouth, right? And if you take the faceplate off the Masterpiece toy, he actually has like a molded mouth under the faceplate that you could only see if you were to disassemble the head, right? So it was kind of already been established, right? Because I didn't hear anybody mention that.
Well, what I wasn't clear enough about, I think, when I listened to it again, was like it was more so the scene where the faceplate retracts, which felt very much like a movie style tie-in to me. Because you know he does it a lot in the movie, so I thought that's kind of like they're going
okay,
like
I got
this is movie-ish. And then he goes like, now I'm gonna drink something.
But I just wanted to throw that out there too, just in case no one knew, because I actually haven't read the G2 comics, the Marvel G2.
In G2, he doesn't necessarily have like a mouth under there that he shows off.
Yeah, doesn't he get damaged and there's like some
it's like a
skeletal
skull.
Yeah,
it's like, kind of like a skull type look.
Like brutalized.
I've seen the artwork. I just never read the whole story arc or anything.
Yeah, and like you're saying, the Masterpiece. If you take off the mask of Masterpiece or 20th anniversary, whatever you want to call them, Optimus Prime, it's the same sort of deal.
Yeah, but in G2, a lot of the robots also seem to have tongues, teeth, and saliva in their mouths, so whatever.
That's true.
You can find those particular robots on RedTube as well.
Yes, using that saliva.
under the search term Kiss Play. Legion.
Lots of tongue action.
I actually wanted to clarify something there as well, now that we're talking about it from the last recording. The thing about two different art styles, I actually think I misunderstood it when it was brought up. I'm totally cool with two different art styles when there's two different stories. It was more so like in All Hail Megatron where there'd be two different art styles in one narrative.
Panel to panel would differ.
Yeah. I'm totally cool with, like, I mean, like, I talk about Nick Rosh all the time. I'm cool with, like, having a contained story with its own art style. It's more so when it's like the same story is jumping massive art styles. That's when I find it kind of jarring. So I wanted to clarify that as well.
Yeah. Did you read that She-Hulk run from not too long ago where they would change artists like every three issues or something like that? That was annoying.
I didn't read that, no, but that would be kind of weird.
It was a good series and they were both good artists, but their styles were pretty radically different, and just when you get used to one style they switch, so it was like I don't like that. No, stick with one thing.
I could dig it if it was different artists but they kept the same colorist, because I think that would help tie the art together more. Like even in All Hail Megatron, when it was going from like, you know, gritty robots to like 80s robots, if it was all done with the same colorist in the same coloring style, it probably wouldn't have been quite as noticeable. But it would also go from like deep, dark, gritty robots with deep, dark, gritty coloring to, like, cartoon robots with cartoon coloring.
And do you know who that artist or who that colorist should be?
It should be Drew Iden.
Yeah, it should.
Because Drew Iden is... I think there should be a joint venture between Drew Iden and a Mr. Dimooch on DeviantArt, because they're both very cool guys. And they're also cool artists. And I just got paid $50 on PayPal for reasons I can't share right now. But
Anyway, let me finish what I was saying. I'm done with that. So, the other point that I wanted to make was, and I think I actually haven't read the comic All Hail Megatron episode or issue 13 thread on any of the forums or anything, but I just wanted to mention it because you guys didn't mention it on the podcast, but it really seemed odd to me the difference of Starscream from All Hail Megatron 12 to All Hail Megatron 13. And that was the only thing, that was the main problem I had with the entire issue, really, was because at the end, it was like Megatron had finally ingrained in Starscream, like, look, if you want to be leader, you have to earn it. And Starscream actually flew in and rescued Megatron's dying body to save him.
Oh, you just screwed the whole story for me.
Well,
who bays?
Maybe you should go on the G.I. Joe podcast. Oh. But the I take it back. But in All Hail Megatron 13, it's like, you know, Starscream is back to the whole, he can't wait for Megatron to die, and it was almost like hinted at that he was about to go in there and finish off the job himself just so he could be the leader again. And it was just like all that character development from the final few issues, you know, through of the main arc of All Hail Megatron had just been undone by a new writer. And it just, I don't know, that threw me away because the whole
character... That's what I was just about to ask. Is it the same writer?
No, it's not.
And it feels oddly...
And I don't necessarily have a problem because the writer for that particular story was it Mike Costa? Yeah, that's the one who's going to be doing the upcoming ongoing IDW Transformers comic. But... And, you know, I'm not necessarily saying he's a bad writer, but what he wrote in that did not fit with the previous two or three episodes or issues of All Hail Megatron at all. It really, really threw me out.
Well, I guess to make the obvious snarky joke, the apparent ignoring of very recent continuity, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's true, and that's not. I guess that's a good point. Is that's not an isolated incident lately with IDW. That's an ongoing issue where
a new writer
takes over, and they claim it's in the same. I mean, this one even bears the same miniseries name, and it's already out of continuity. So it's I don't know. It's really. It just seems like IDW's writers are not respecting the person who came before them at all, and they just decide that they want to take things in their own direction.
I've been kind of sold on Mike Costa because the great Mr. Chibi came in with actual comic industry knowledge and basically said that Xander Cannon and Mike Costa are really, really cool guys.
Right, and yeah, and I'm, that's why I'm saying I don't want to put my foot down and say, oh, I think Mike Costa sucks.
Yeah.
It's just that what he wrote in this one issue does not match what came in the previous three, and it bugs me.
I sometimes think it might be an IDW editorial hand down where they go like, all right, ignore, you know, all of these parts of the last thing.
Yeah.
Start over again.
It turns out Mike Costa actually wrote this before... the rest of the previous episode or issues of All Hail Megatron were even written.
Yeah, it's like this.
So
is,
they were just
it was, this is his triad piece, and they just used it.
It fits if you use your imagination. You can wedge it in there.
I am definitely far more behind certain contributors to IDW than the company as a whole right now. Like, you know, Mike Costa. Apparently, I mean, if he worked on the Authority, I've got to give him props. And Xander Cannon has worked on The Tick, which I got to give him props. So I'm looking forward to see how those guys do. And I love Nick Rosh, as I will always say. And I love a lot of the artists and the writers. But, like, you know, as a whole, the company still always feels kind of like this weird thing that's trying to punch itself.
I think one good example of that is if you read the earlier IDW Transformers comics like Infiltration and all them, at the end, like they have their letters to the editor from the fans, and what was his name? What's the editor in chief of there? I'm drawing a blank. Of IDW, Mike Ryall.
Chris Ryall.
So Chris Ryall used to have, you know, he used to answer the letters, and even the ones that were very critical. Like he even posted or, you know, whatever.
Printed.
In the back, he printed. He printed letters that were critical, even comparing them to Dreamwave. And I remember very specifically there was a letter that said that he, you know, this guy, he enjoyed the Dreamwave comics and were sad to see him go. And he his son had been reading the IDW comics, and he was sad because he didn't think the artwork held up to the Dreamwave stuff. And like, that was something I respected about IDW. And if I haven't seen IDW print any critical letters in a while, at least, I don't know. I haven't noticed if they have. So it's just kind of funny. They went to being like this whole full disclosure, like, no, let us have it, you know, and we'll defend ourselves to, yeah, we don't have anything to say.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it turns out. My hope is that we're going to get all the positive aspects of all these new guys and that things will turn out great, but I just don't have too much faith in the company approach as a whole maintaining whatever they do next. I'm going to have trouble getting really attached to what it is that I'm going to be reading, I think.
Well, yeah, you know who it was that sent in that letter who said that he liked the art in Dreamwave better?
Pat Lee.
Yeah.
He
wrote that.
Did he sign it Pat Lee? No, I can't remember. He so should have. It's been like Pat Lee, Dreamwave.
Signed it Patrick Leroy.
Dreamwave King for life. I guess this is a good time for an intermission, so let's intermiss, and then we'll be back with some thoughts on some pictures and what we got this week. So stay tuned!
This is Drew Adam from WTF at TFW, and you're listening to WTF at TFW. Alright, what's up? We're back with our Chicago Comic Con 2009 recap. I was there for Friday, and it was delicious. It was fantastic. It was everything I ever expected and more. However, not a lot on the Transformers plate. I did see a copy of Transformers, the Fractal Pack Rat 2-Pack Vacon exclusive comic by itself for $325. Passed on that. Saw a few other issues, very high priced. Transformers was big this year. Maybe made the mistake of going the year there was a movie. So people were trying to gouge, I think. I'm not sure. However, that said, I did run into Silver Alternity Convoy. Almost picked that up. But decided instead to do a little what we got this week for myself. Got this week two of the old Transformer keychains, the Minibots keychains. Got Windcharger and Cliff Jumper. They were $5 a piece. That was fun. Didn't know who you'd get. And then also picked up Transformers number 2 and number 3 from 1984. $6 a piece. Good deal. At the end of the day, though, best part about it is met Buck Rogers, met Alvin Lee, famous artist, and had a good time. The fact that there's a lack of Transformers was sad, but hey, still good. It's no BotCon, but it's still awesome. I would go back next year. Anyways, rounding out this recap, it's something I feel it's important to share with y'all, was the fact that Transformers number 1 from 1984 was in heavy abundance. So, if you're looking for it, get out there. Get out there. Okay, bye. Okay.
We're back, and we're going to talk to you about a single image that came up, somewhat mysterious. Apparently, it's from a San Diego Comic-Con design book, and it looks like a big picture of Transformers design pictures. The main one being Movie Lockdown, but there are also several head designs, one of which looks very much like Mindwipe, and one of which looks very much like Breakdown. There's also a chibi-styled RC, and what looks to be some kind of similar Sorry Robot deal on the top right. So, it's a kind of an interesting find. Apparently it was found on 4chan. I did see it on Toy, and I don't think any source was cited there either, so I have no idea where this came from. But Lockdown looks pretty cool, although he's not accurate to the packaging photo that we saw because his arm is actually coming out of his shoulder. I stole this joke from GogDog, because we talked about this during the break, and I just wanted to make that clear right now.
Even team. When we steal jokes, we credit the source.
Ooch. Even team?
That was addressed to them.
Oh. I thought really? You were representing.
Wasn't that clear?
I don't understand what you're talking about. But Gog, what are your thoughts on this picture?
Seth got it. It looks kind of, the one up in the upper right looks like, sorry, it almost looks like she's wearing like a Prime, Optimus Prime forehead crest type of thing, which is kind of weird. I don't know where that came from, but it looks cool. RC.
He murdered Optimus Prime.
Stuff like this is fascinating because you have no context, you have no idea what it is, and you just kind of look at it and try to figure out what's going on. We know Lockdown, you know, that's based off of his Movieverse toy, and the same thing with the other three heads. Then you have a random super deformed GBRC. One just kind of, she almost looks like artwork from the back of a like a comic or something. Just like a little funny sketches or something.
What is she doing? Like flashing a gang sign or something?
While giving like a little sexy cross-legged pose with her big old head. But man, that Lockdown looks awesome. Like that the one drawing of just Lockdown's head, he almost looks like a tiger-like dude. I'm trying to think. What was the wasn't there a movie or something that had like anthropomorphic tiger men or something recently?
Probably.
I don't remember.
Check Red 2.
Oh, no, never mind. I'm thinking of a video game. I'm thinking of a video game.
Transmorphers.
No.
Transmorphers, but Revenge of the Tiger Men.
No, I was thinking of Final Fantasy 12. Like, one of the characters had bodyguards that were, like, tiger-looking men, but whatever. But, I hope the toy looks anything like that. We haven't really seen detailed photos. We haven't really seen what the head, you know...
What's with that head in the bottom right hand corner? There's like no eyes for him or something. It's got like a huge forehead or something.
That looks like the head that was on that mind wipe that they showed at the panel. Like a bunch of us kind of held the head next to the picture that we got from the panel, and it was kind of like, it looks similar.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's all like,
it's like there's a visor.
I think that's a visor.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I thought it at first. I thought it was
there's that line
like a movie jazz.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just reading
like angles in. It's not like a straight visor, like angles in toward where a biological being would have a nose.
That's because those are like his cool vanity goggles for when he skis down slopes. The sun plays off of them, and he looks all badass, and all the girls are like, oh, it's Mind Wipe. He's like, that's right, baby, I'm Mind Wipe. And he hypnotizes them, and then, like, they go out and eat sandwiches.
Then he does some jumps off some sick moguls, Johnny Mosley style.
I'm actually just reading through the thread, and someone asked Bill Rawley, I think, about some of the concepts in the book this came from. And apparently he said it's more of a celebration of the talented artists that Hasbro has working on their brands. And so it's more so that than actual design pictures. So that might explain the RC and the Sari and whatnot. But
it's cool, yeah. I mean, just random stuff like that from designers is neat to look at.
Yeah. Seth, what do you think about this pic?
Yeah, it was just... kind of funny seeing like a more realistic or a more realistic Sari next to a less realistic RC. But
I can see what you mean.
Yeah. And then like the heads, whatever. I mean, clearly the focal point and like the most important thing to talk about in this whole deal is that Lockdown. So everyone that saw that Lockdown picture at BotCon was like, yay, oh my god, it's so great. And then a bunch of people saw it from the San Diego shots, and then they were like, oh, it's not that great. No, it is that great. And anyone that doesn't think it's that great is wrong and should stop saying it's not that great because you're incorrect in your assessment. It's awesome. It's super rad. And just love it the way you should, tenderly, with a soft hand. And same thing with Bludgeon. Bludgeon is also that great. So deal with it.
Are you going to stand tall and defend them against the hordes that want to bring them down? Are you going to be their white knight?
Totally.
Awesome. What are they going to give you in return? What's Lockdown going to give you?
Nothing.
It's going to give you like...
I don't ask for nothing. I'm doing this out of love.
Even if Lockdown doesn't love me. Super underscore Megatron. Have you got any thoughts on these images?
Not really.
Aside from, like, dude on the bottom right is weird.
Well, it's, just the Lockdown's awesome. Everybody knows the Lockdown's an awesome, gonna be an awesome toy. I don't know what's the deal with the second dude there. It looks like he's, like, an old man or something.
He's
got, like, no teeth.
He's got, like,
forgot to put in his dentures or something. Yeah.
They're retractable for battle.
and red tube videos.
I was hoping we could put like the quote for the podcast would be like, quote, the dude, the head on the bottom right looks weird, end quote. That Super Megatron, August 2009.
Yeah. And the other dude, I don't know. It almost looked like he was like sucking on something, or it's just...
I love these thoughts. These are awesome.
It's like
the dude in the middle looks like he's sucking on something.
Or something.
He's got like little horns too, like he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. It's a little devil or something. I don't know.
I got you something right here, buddy.
Maybe because he's looking up at the little pigtailed sorry chick up above. Your dirty thoughts.
Put your something away. File your something away with your dirty thoughts, guy. Put some damn teeth in your lips. Let's move on to what we got this week.
I knew my dentures retracted for a reason.
something.
I got nothing.
Nothing else. He gave us plenty.
So, hey, Evangelist.
There are times where no teeth are a good thing.
Evangelist, what did she get this week? Oh, well.
Especially when they're made out of metal.
Oh, Evangelist.
That would really change.
I didn't get anything this week except for these guys talking about weird stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about something. I certainly don't understand, and of course, mother of listener number 12, don't know what they're trying to imply, so, you know, please take all comments to, like, George Clooney on Twitter. Hey, Gog.
Wait, no, Twitter crashed today, eh?
It's back. I went and looked, and it was there. Maybe Twitter's a
denial of service attack. Apparently they tried to hit up Facebook too, but Facebook was too resilient.
Hackers are all like, well, stop socializing and go out and socialize!
Yes.
Yeah, well, like, you know, trying to crash Twitter is like picking on the cripple kid. It's not that hard to take his lunch money.
Twitter crashes itself.
Even if you don't push them over, they're going to fall down on their own.
Although I should say right here and now, we don't support the pushing over of the elderly.
No, just crippled kids, apparently.
Yeah, just crippled kids, apparently. Wow.
Yeah, I could load up Twitter right now, hit refresh 10 times real fast, and bring it down. It's not like anything to brag about.
I'm going to open up a browser window and DDoS them with my F5 key.
Yeah, I'm a total lead hacker. I'm totally lead. I totally hackered it.
You're elite, dude.
Man, I'm in fear. Hey, Gog, what did you get this week?
Fear spelled with two
that's
E's.
That's
going to
be where the
He's
chapter
elite.
Starts, too. It's going to just be abrupt. Even if someone's skipping through.
Fear with three E's. F-E-E-R-E.
And then there's a couple threes in there as well.
No, yeah, number threes. Yeah,
okay. What did I get this week? Transformers related, I forgot my Universe Swerve, just like pretty much everybody else from GM Fan 101, from Canada.
I got one from
you,
him too.
Sir.
Whoa!
Well, wait your turn, buddy. Okay, you know how these things work.
How fast did you get it? Did it come in the mail?
I know you haven't been here for a while, but we got these things called turns. All right?
Well, since you're talking about Swerve, I was just going to say I didn't actually go up there and get it. He actually got one for me. I was too lazy to go up there.
That's so cute. But, anyway, I have an interesting history with this toy, and I just wanted to interject another time since Gog's talking.
I'm done now. You can go.
Okay, thanks. But,
Just one more time, and then I'll be done. Okay, go ahead.
Swerve is awesome.
Okay. A year ago, I came home from work, and I had a note on my door saying that I had missed the package that required the signature. So, it's not funny when you do it.
Yeah, but, it is.
So, I go and I get my package, and I open it up, and inside is a sealed AVO Swerve. This is like a year ago. I think the toy came out sometime last year, maybe, whatever, sometime around then. But I had never even heard of this toy, and I have no idea where it came from. So, I looked it up, and I was like, you know, I've never even seen this. What is this Universe Swerve that I'm getting mailed to me from someone in China? And nothing on the box is in English, except for my name and address. So, I searched for the toy, and I realized that this thing is going for, at the time, no less than $100 on eBay. To this day, I have no idea where the thing came from. I tried to cross-reference eBay searches to see if someone had mistakenly sent me someone else's eBay package, or if I had ordered something from eBay, and they sent me the wrong thing, but it didn't happen, because everything I got from that I had ordered off eBay came. I waited for months for somebody to send me a letter or an email or something saying, hey, we sent you the wrong toy by mistake. And, you know, when I realized how much the thing was worth and how rare it was, at least at the time before it got re-released in Canada, I would have been more than happy to just be a nice guy and, you know, say, hey, pay me some shipping and I'll send it to whoever it belonged to. You know, no big deal. Never. I waited about 4 months, never found out where it came from. So, you know, as we've established in the past, you know, as far as the WTF at TFW crew, I have the best fans, and apparently I have international fans. I have fans in China that send me free $100 toys without even revealing their identity. So, I felt lucky at the time because I needed money, so I flipped it for a quick $75. So, flash forward about a year later, and I have someone else sending me another one for free. So it's just the fate, you know, the gods of fate are pointing at me saying, you will own this toy at no cost to yourself. So I have decided, since this one was a gift from someone that I do know in person, that I shall keep this one. But yes, it is I can't get away with turning this one around. But
gifts from random Asians, I don't know.
But yeah, I mean,
I have it in a box and send it back to China.
I have fans in China, I have fans in Canada. It's great. I just love my fans. I love my life. It makes my breathing worthwhile. But no, he's a great little figure. I like him. He's great. He's better than some of the other molds that Hasbro's put out. So it seems kind of weird that they really put their all into this mold that Chevy commissioned, and then Hasbro doesn't own the rights to use. And it's kind of a shame, really, that it didn't get more of a wide release. But whatever. I also got Silver Alternity Megatron. I know Seth already talked about him, I think, on 53, but he's great. I really like him more than I expected to. The way his shoulders transform are really, really cool. I like his swords. He's a great little figure, and I look forward to seeing what the rest of Alternity is going to look like. I'm still holding out hope for Bumblebee. I agree with what you guys said on, I think, 52 yeah. or whatever, about how he kind of looks kind of, you know,
me and Aaron
boring.
Were super mean.
And I agree. I agree with you guys about the design sketch. I really hope something happens between that sketch and the final product. I mean, who knows? That might not even be a final design.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really hoping it's not, because so far I've been very impressed with Alternity. I like both figures a lot. But yeah, I thought Megatron was going to be boring after getting Convoy, but he does enough different. Really, the only thing that he shares are some similarities on the arms and the chest, the way the front of the car collapses. But everything else really is different, and they did a good job of having mixing the figures up where they're still. They share a lot of the same stuff, but there's so many little differences that they really are two different figures, and I don't think pictures necessarily convey that. You have to transform them for yourself. But
you have to get good
hands. They have tons of sculpted detail, just ridiculous amounts of sculpted detail on their mm-hmm. legs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Makes me want to dot it in with like a silver Sharpie or something. That's cool. So you got a decent little haul of sports cars, if we pretend an Avio is a sports car. Seth, what did you get this week?
Well, I got a Chevy Swerve also.
What?
Hey, shocking twist. M. Night Shyamalan, eat your heart out. Never saw that coming. It came very quickly from when our homeboy's a GM's fan and which Madea was it?
The other
which
guy. One?
Wow.
One of them. It was one of them.
I apologize to straight. You, other guy. Apparently we've forgotten your name.
Well, it's like they're the Baldwins of the Transformer community. There's like 50 of them, and they're all vaguely similar. So.
Canadians?
Do you specifically mean Amima? No, you...
Amima, yeah. I kid. I love that guy. Anyway, so it came lickety-split. I didn't have to wait for nothing. Postal Service was rocking the Casbah. Got it here. No troubles at all. He's a stumpy little guy. He's kind of cool. He could use some more ability to move his arms around. Would have been great, but, you know, what are you going to do? Can't complain too much. The way his legs transform is really interesting. A lot of stuff moves around to get his legs into position, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. And his Autobot logo is barely a different shade of red, so it's kind of hard to see, but...
He's in disguise.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? And the only other...
His wrists rotate, too, which is cool.
Yeah. Hey, they do. Twisting the hell out of him right now.
I done learned you something, boy.
Yeah.
His wrists.
You're better than a book. and then the only other Transformer I've purchased in the last 2 weeks is Jolt, the Volt.
Ooh.
And there's a lot not to like about this guy. He's also very chunky. Like, a lot of parts crash into each other when you try to, like, move his arms around. Like, he's got there's actually some similarities with his robot mode to Swerve, where, like, the back window is his shins. But on his back, like, you have, like, the side panels that, if they could just move down a little bit more, they would almost... be more like a cape coming straight down off his back, but where they get stuck and have to be the door windows that are hanging off the bottom of his arm just crash the hell into those side panels, which is unfortunate. And his head doesn't really move around much because there's this huge big piece of gray plastic directly behind his head.
Yeah.
They can't do much with that. But I don't know why. There's all these reasons where he would just be like a fairly mediocre, like okay level of figure, but I don't know why, but I've always, from the very first pictures we've seen, I've always just had a soft spot for this guy, and I like him all the same. I like him despite his failings.
You recognize...
Maybe it's the trans...
You recognize who he is underneath the skin.
Yes. Behind his beady little weird eyes.
Man, you should join the Big Brothers and Big Sisters Organization of America or something, man. Make a kid feel useful.
It's like, hey, little
he
Jimmy.
He can't be with 100 meters of a kid.
Be like, hey, little Jimmy, I like you even though you're a retard.
Knocking them down all the time.
Even though you got beady little eyes and a malformed forehead and six fingers on each hand, you're special,
your
Jimmy.
Your tongue doesn't fit in your mouth. I like you all the same. You little scamp.
And we just lost about 15 subscribers.
Oh, yeah. I'm not making people are going to hate on me for this.
Someone else can record that one.
Yeah. Gog, record an apology for me.
Hello, I'm Gog.
Vangelis is our resident apologist. So I'll let him do what he does best.
This is my plan. I'm just never going to read any more podcast threads. And if anybody complains, I won't know about it.
And then I'll have huge laughs about it the next episode.
And so besides getting back on track, Wally going off topic, check out how I'm going to do this. So besides Transformers, the only other kind of toy stuff I bought are like 20 G.I. Joes. But once Super _ Megatron's here, I'm not going to say any more about them because I don't want to get hollered at.
Well, you got that Hummer, I just want to say right now.
Yeah, that thing's awesome. Did.
You and the rest of the internet trying to make
What?
Oh, no, I wasn't referencing that. I'm talking about that black truck.
Retractable teeth!
You're talking about that robot with no teeth?
You and the rest of the internet making me get a friggin' Mighty Mug over Twitter. People going like, hey... He's got a chromed head. It's pretty
peer
cool.
Peer pressure.
It's pretty cool. I got one. And all my friends go, why don't you got one, Vangelis? Get one.
I bet he got a chromed head.
I don't have one of those. I don't have a Mighty Mug Destro. Are you crazy? That thing's dumb.
Jeez, Seth Buzzer. You're so mean. In my last video, you're totally bashing on because you're like, oh, that's too short. Only 11 minutes.
Well, you had been tweeting
bunch of bull
like,
hockey
for 20 days about like, oh, I made this video.
20 days.
50. It's like 50 minutes long. Or
yeah,
people
but I'm
are really
not.
Upset.
That was a different.
And then you
video.
Post a video and it's not that. I know. Well, you know, stop teasing about videos that you're not posting, fella. Because I'm all settled in. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be 50 minutes. I'm going to enjoy this.
He prepared. He ate dinner. He ate dinner early. He had to, like,
I was all ready to go, and then it loads up, and it's like 11 minutes and out. I'm like, dude, what? Wait, no,
like,
what?
You see the time count, you like get up out of your chair, just pick up your keyboard, and just throw it at the wall.
No, I refreshed the page.
God damn it, Vangelis! Hey.
I would never kick Banjo. Take that back.
I just imagine
I refreshed the page. Yeah. I refreshed the page to make sure all the video loaded. And I was like, come on. What?
Just imagine you like
YouTube was lazy and only loaded 11 minutes.
I need at least a half hour to describe Mirage's Disappearo box. That's at least 20 minutes.
And what did you do, Vangelis? You spent a minute and a half? I just imagine you seeing the time count just standing up and just having a royal just like like crescendo of anger. Like your whole day has been leading up to this glorious long night on YouTube.
Well, I would act out the exact scene, but I don't want to create extra work for you by having to Ido 11 it. I'll do it in the post show. Pre-game wrap-up report.
We'll have that one on the special gold subscriber rendition of the podcast.
Subscriber Platinum Plus.
Gold subscriber Platinum Plus live.
Diamond edition.
With, like, 14-day free trial of Star Trek Online.
And foil packaging.
In foil packaging.
No, free trial of the Matrix Online now that they've shut off the servers.
Oh, I'm not going to get started on how that was a missed opportunity. Hey, Super underscore Megatron, did you get anything this week?
Well, the last thing I got was actually the Target exclusive Titanium Optimus Prime Hot Zone and Thrust.
Speaking of Target, I was at Target the other day.
I bet you were. And that's about it.
Oh.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Cybertron.ca sale news there, Vangelis, but starting tomorrow, 20th anniversary Optimus Prime is going to be on sale at Toys R Us for $30.
If I had, like, a little bit more pocket cash, maybe, but I've already got, like, two or three Optimus Primes, so I don't know. I'll see if there's, like, a wall of them at mine, but if there's not, I'm gonna pretend it's all noble, and I'm going to be like, no, I'm leaving those for the children.
You're going to see if there's a wallaby?
Yes.
A wallaby.
And if there's a wallaby at Toys R Us, then I have been sent a divine sign.
It's code for the Canadian Sasquatch.
Don't you know that the Canadian Sasquatch is a friend of children, and he'll tell me if I can buy one?
Yeah, because those things are $30, but they're Australian dollars. That's why there's a wallaby there.
Good Lord, man. You'd think someone was trying to throw someone for a swerve around here. We're pro. We are professional.
You mean a Chevy Aveo swerve?
Indeed. Red and rare. And I actually don't have mine yet, because I'm apparently getting mine last.
But, hey, just like Omega's.
You know, except his was in customs. There's no customs for mine to be stuck in. It's just slow.
So, mine wasn't.
It is true.
Mine wasn't either.
Sometimes it takes longer for it to get across Canada than to go to somewhere in the States.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Doctor Who Destro as well. I was hoping those were going to show up today, but they haven't.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering what happened to yours, man. I was like...
No, I got mine.
Yeah.
So
I got mine, too.
I know, so I'm last
shout
again.
Shout out to our homegirl, Artoni, for the hookup.
Yeah. Artoni also hooked up a fellow...
What did she hook you guys up with? Syphilis?
Yeah.
Meth.
San Diego Comic-Con exclusive syphilis.
Sweet.
The lineup for like 3 hours to get it.
It was autographed by Joss Wheaton.
Yeah. Comes in a gold box. I actually wanted to throw out something a friend of mine got really quickly. My friend Hailstorm recently got a Disney label Mickey Mouse for the best price I've ever heard of someone getting one for. She basically bid $5 on one on eBay and won it for $5. And I've been informed the toy is very much worth it for $5. So if you can get a $5 Disney label, then do it. Apparently that's also very hard to do, so I just had to share that here because I learned of this about half an hour before we started recording, and I got extremely jealous because I actually would love to have that thing for like $5. So there we go. This can take us into our final topic for the day. We got a listener question from Rider Strike, which has been aimed almost entirely at myself and Gog Dog, but we're going to see how much we can include our friends here, Seth Buzzard and Super underscore Megatron. So let's hear that question now.
Hey, WTF and TFW, this is Rider Strike 152 here, and I got some questions for you guys. In the funny section, there's been a little line of toys slowly taking things over. And it's called the Busso Shinky. And I know you guys are probably all fully aware of this line. Toy hates it. There's some people that do like it. And I'm just wondering what you guys think of the line. Do you hate it? Do you love it? You're kind of like, oh, it's cool. And then my second question is going towards God and Vangelis. I want you to gawk about Figma Drossel. Just gawk about it, and if you plan to buy any more Figmas. Well, thank you for letting me ask and stuff, and yeah, I ask a lot of questions, don't I? See you guys.
All right, so the question, the opening question, the one that we can all participate in is, what do we think of Busō Shinki? It's a line by Konami. It is based, I believe, off of their sadly failed M-Driver line. And it's basically a bunch of little girls who have giant vehicles that can turn into armor, and then different armor sets you can put on them, etc., etc. I'll start off with my thoughts on them. I have one. A friend of mine has two that I've tried transforming. I find them to be wholly frustrating in terms of the giant vehicles, because it's just a whole bunch of, like, parts that feel really fragile and don't necessarily fit together all that well. I know they have a big following, so, you know, I'm sorry if I'm insulting you guys. The designs are really cool on the robot bits, but I just find it all feels too fragile. It reminds me too much of early AmDriver stuff. And the only one I have has, like, rubber breasts, and apparently that's not a common feature. So, generally, I'm not a big Busō Shinki-ite myself. Although, there's a guy on YouTube called Plamu. He's like a minor god of stop animation who lives in a tiny apartment in Japan, who every couple months will just cough out this ludicrously, like, well-done stop animation that you think was created by, like, some dude who sold his soul to the dark powers. And that's how that's the upside of Busō Shinki, is that they give Plamu things to make walk around on their own. Gog, what do you think of Busō Shinki?
Busō Shinki. I'm a big Reveltech fan. Don't ask me why, but ever since the... Because on TFW for now, for a couple years, we've had a basically like a show-off-your-Reveltech thread. And it's, you know, it's like up to like almost 4,000 replies now, I think.
Toy arc.
Yeah, in the toy arc on TFW. But it's... ever since, and this is all in my head, I completely understand this, but ever since the show off your Busō Shinki thread came up, the only thing I can think of when I see that thread is competition. Every time I see that thread, like I would see the replies creeping up, and I was like, oh, no, you know, the Reveltech thread is so much bigger than that. And eventually it surpassed it. When the Busō Shinki thread in replies surpassed the Reveltech thread, I was angry. I don't know why. I have no tangible reason or explanation for why that is. But every time I see or hear Busō Shinki, that's the only thing I can think about. So, no. I hate the figures. I hope they burn. I hope one day, you know, some demigod comes down and just turns them all into acid. And anyone who owns one, it just melts through their floor and,
turns
you know,
them into acid.
Yes. No. Like, weird girls, they got screws in their legs, like you can see, you can't pose, you can't even pose.
Real women don't have screws in their legs.
I've seen girl legs once, and there was no screws.
I'm just saying, like, the screws aren't even well hidden, like, I don't know, I don't care for Busō Shinki. I don't own one and have no intention of doing it. Hope the line ends so we can all just get on with our day, and then the Reveltech thread can overtake it.
So, Gog, are you going to be sure to check the thread when the Busō Shinki rage?
Nope, I'm not checking. I don't even check the thread because it gives it a view count. I'm not doing it.
I don't even know what the f*** it is.
Well, let's move on.
Don't look at it. Don't. You're supporting the
I'm
enemy.
I'm not going to.
Hey, Super Megatron.
I don't want the terrorist to win.
Super Megatron, yeah. As a Canadian Busō Shinki expert, what do you think about the line?
I don't. I never think of it. I'd rather kick myself in the nuts rather than Busō Shinki, whatever the f*** it is. No interest in it at all.
All right, and
robots with no. I'd rather get a blowjob from a robot with no teeth than Busō Shinki, whatever the f*** that is.
All right, Seth, what do you think of Busō Shinki? This is going pretty well, isn't it?
Some of the robot-y parts, I've seen some stuff that is actually kind of cool looking about it. That being said, I get kind of a overwhelming feeling from them that, like, so, like, there's those anime girl statue things that sell for, like, $150 or more that do absolutely nothing except for, like, you could take their clothes off and they have squishy toy boobs. It's like it's almost like collecting Busho Skanky is one step.
Busho Skanky. I am never for the rest of my life going to be able to look at Busho Skankies without saying Busho Skanky. Never. That is awesome, sir. Congratulations. You have won the episode.
So, but if you collect them, I mean, it's kind of like going way too nerd style to, like, hassle people for collecting a different toy line than you collect. But you're a jerk if you buy those. That's a bomb.
All right.
You're not really a jerk. I'm just being comically outrageous. So stop being such a jerk.
I will briefly, just to be a devil's advocate, say.
Why do you always have to be a devil's advocate? Stand up! Grow a spinal column!
I am the devil, and I am his advocate. And I'm just going to say, Busho Skankies have extremely tight joints, and that's something Konami should hold very dear to their hearts in future projects. I just wanted to say that, because I know someone out there in Konami was listening and was, like, seriously getting pushed to the point of tears. So I just want to say, hey, bro. Hey, bro-nami. I'm here to give you a hug and say, you made some tight joints, you know? So maybe you should hide those screws a bit better. And, you know, things might get better. You know, there's another day over the horizon of the sunrise. So, hey, bro-nami. Hey. Okay, so the second question, which Seth and Super Megatron are totally welcome to take part in if they wish, was basically
Thank you for your permission.
Yeah.
No, you may not.
It was aimed directly...
This has nothing to do with you guys, so why don't you shut up?
You guys were picking on the Busho Skankies, and I didn't appreciate that.
Why
are
you
gonna
be so mean?
So you're banned from talking about the next... Banned!
So Busho Skanky. So when you use them to stab other inmates, and
hey, look. All I'm gonna say is Busho Skankies generally wear really pointy shoes. Okay, it's a weird design thing, but you could totally sharpen those things into like a shiv. It's a true story.
Do it.
I'm doing it right
with
now.
English, see you. Do it.
I do it right now. You think I'm not professional? So, me and Gog were asked what we think of Drossel and Figma on the whole. So, all I'm going to say, because I don't want to... There's really not much to say without repeating myself. Drossel is a really solid figure. It looks exactly like it's out of the show, and the joints are all nice and tight and useful. So, grats, Max Factory, but why did you stop making giant die-cast robots? Seriously. Yeah, Drossel's cool. Figma generally is about characters I know nothing of and don't care about outside of Drossel, except for Duke Togo, because he is a man... he is the man, capital M. And if I had more money, I'd have Duke Togo on pre-order right now. That is me on Drossel and Figma. Gog Dog.
Yes, I was... Drossel was my first Figma. Again, I'm more of a Reveltech collector. Mostly just for the fact that most Reveltechs are, you know, robots. I generally collect robots more than I do little skanky anime chicks in their underwear. which is fine. Nothing against people who collect skanky anime chicks in, you know, it's better as a whole. I'd rather you collect skanky anime chicks in their underwear than collect Busho Skanky. But
I was about to ask you, where are you drawing the line between Figma and Busho Skanky? Because I always look at those.
I just drew it. I drew the line in the sand.
Good Lord.
Cross it, and you're a Busho Skanky.
I'm
going
to sit on that
line
to continue being the advocate of the devil just to spite someone. Sitting right on the line.
Well, anyway. So, yes, this was my first Figma. I was impressed. I'm impressed with it. Funny you should mention Duke Togo, because I have had him on pre-order for about a month.
I was kind of like,
well, you know, if depending on how I like Drossel, which I really had no expectations of not liking, I would figure, you know, I'll make a determination if I want the pre-order or not. But yeah, I'm very impressed. I'm looking forward to getting the Duke Togo. One of my all-time wants in life as a toy collector is to have an action figure subline of Ghost in the Shell standalone complex characters. It's probably my favorite anime of all time. I don't watch a lot of anime, but I really, really, really love that show. And why it's never gotten action figures despite its popularity in multiple languages is beyond me. I was hoping once Rebeltech started getting into more of the human lines that maybe there would be like a Rebeltech subline. But, man, just seeing the vast amount of licenses that Max Factory is covering with Figma figures, I'm really hoping one day that it happens. So that's my hopes have now shifted from Kyoto to Max Factory to producing my dream line of human-based toys.
Can I just throw you a hypothetical situation? What if a really cool Ghost in the Shell figure came out and it was a Buso Shinki?
He just made his head explode.
I was waiting for you to, like 3 seconds of silence and just, like, you better not ever say that again. Like, really quiet. He's just like, you can hear the steam coming out of his ears. It's like, you don't suggest that kind of crap when you're having a discussion with me, son. But what would you do?
Man.
While he's thinking about that,
while he's thinking about that, I was just thinking, wow, it's a good thing Lupus doesn't listen to these shows, because he'd be bummed out that somebody was stealing his hypothetical thunder.
There's enough hypothesis to go around. I mean, like, let's okay. So, Seth,
I would this okay. This is what
oh,
I would.
We're back.
Do.
We're back.
I would. Oh. I would. Yeah. I would. No, I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay. hey, Seth, what do you think of Figma?
I don't know. Figma or Drossel specifically? Because I don't know Figma from Adam besides Drossel, really. But Drossel looks cool. I don't have any... I've watched maybe half of the Fireball episode so far. Because they're so time-consuming, I can't get around to all of them. and it's cool. I mean, it's a cool character, and it looks really nice, and it looks like you could do all kinds of cool stuff. But what really kind of made me go, hey, whoa, hey now, there's something cool going on here, was TFW moderator Nemesis Predaking super sweet custom sorry repaint.
Rest in peace, Drossel. Rest in peace.
I was going to segue into that to try to help include Super Megatron in this conversation.
You snooze, you lose, because now Nemesis is going to love me for giving him a shout out, not you.
maybe victory! I'll shut up.
Yeah, maybe you will shut up.
I meant, oh no! Super underscore Megatron, if you were having this crazy dude run up to you and stick a gun against your head and go like, Figma or Drossel, what do you choose? What would you say?
I'd say shoot me in the head.
Oh, that's actually a good answer, because the guy would go like, that wasn't one of the choices! And then he'd like shoot himself in the head because you've just ruined his whole like worldview. So, yeah. Good thinking, man. Good thinking.
I'd say, you know what, instead of buying robots that look like little girls, just go buy a Playboy or something.
Not bad. What would you be saying this
Megatron
to?
Megatron only likes robots that look like dudes.
Yeah, I'd say that's his first. Look like dudes? Yeah.
Yeah, you only like robots that look like dudes.
That's right.
He's still holding out for Figma Coitus Toweratron.
Yes. I don't like to mix my sexual fantasies and my robots. Unless it's a dude with no teeth. It's a different story, but...
I'll just say right here and now that I'm really into robots that look like men and or women. At the same time, or one at a time. And I mean that in a wholly innocent way. That surely could not be misconstrued in any fashion.
Robots are robots. They're not guys or girls anyway. Once you get into the whole...
Unless I'm writing a fan fiction.
Yeah, if you get into the thing where you're thinking your robots are hot, then you got a whole other problem. You just need to go out and do some speed dating or something.
Everyone knows the hottest fictional character to ever exist is Shodan from System Shock 2, because I would tap that. And I am a, I'm a totally balanced gentleman from Canada, so I just want to make that clear to everyone.
That's debatable.
Are you trying to tell me Shodan is not hot?
No, I'm saying you being balanced is debatable. I don't know what Shogun is.
You mean I'm not just balanced, I'm like fixated. Thanks, man.
Sure. Whatever you say.
Oh, man. I like bringing this guy on because he always gives me compliments.
That's why I only come on when no one else is around. You're like, damn it, there's no one else that'll come on. Well, I guess we could ask Super_Megatron, but he's kind of a dick. He doesn't like... All he does is talk trash about everything. He doesn't like anything.
We'll bring him on, then we'll ask him about Buso Shinki, and we'll see what he does.
Why do you bring me on an episode where it's like not even about Transformers? Like, I don't know anything about any of this. It's like, okay, yeah. Robots that look like little girls.
What do you think, Super_Megatron? Opinions.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I hope we answered your questions, Rider Strike. There were other questions, but the answers are basically I live in Western Canada, so no. And I call that guy Professor Coitus Towers, McCripple Fingers. So there you go. He posted a picture of two toys stuck together and wanted to know what they're called. So that's what they're called. That's been another episode of WTF at TFW. We hope that you enjoyed it.
Oh, wait. One thing.
Oh?
You can edit this in to make it sound better. But one thing before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to TFW member Optimus Peeve. like your name. But he bought a movie Ratchet from me from my for sale thread. And when I took it to the post office, I guess shipping prices have increased dramatically over the past couple months or so, because all I did was ship a movie one Voyager Ratchet. And in the past, you know, a exact box and figure would have cost me about maybe $4 at the most. It cost me nearly $8. And, we had already agreed on a price, whatever, but I ended up only making like $3 in profit off the figure or something like that. When he got the figure, without me saying a word to him or anything, he noticed the shipping price and realized how above and beyond the actual shipping went over what I had quoted him. And he actually, like, paid the difference in shipping. So I just wanted to say thank you to Optimus P for helping to somewhat restore my faith in humanity. After reading threads on TFW all day long about how everybody schemes to take advantage of every retail shop in North America, it's good to see someone who actually takes a stand for thinking, doing what they think is right. So thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And that actually brings me to something we can close out on, which is someone who does not do something right, according to one of our colleagues here. So, Seth, tell us about Kmart.
Okay, so I don't know if this is indicative of all Kmarts or just the Kmart in Petaluma. There's like, what, 10 Kmarts left in the world, and we got one. We're stuck with one of them, like a cancer. Okay, so check this out. The Star Trek movie, just before it comes out, the toys are released. Kmart has an end cap, Star Trek toys. And they sit on that end cap until Terminator Rise of the Machines comes out, what was the subtitle of that? The dumb Terminator movie that nobody saw. Then the Terminator toys got the end cap. And they sat on that end cap until Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And now they have not stocked any movie Joe toys. And they haven't even restocked the damn Transformer toys. The Transformer section is like nearly completely wiped out. They have like 3 Waspinators and that's it. The Joe peg, completely empty. The only Joe movie toy they have in stock is One Night Raven that isn't even in the action figure aisle. It's like 3 aisles away, hidden with the board games. So I don't know what's going on at Kmart, but they are lame, and they are not a friend to toy collectors.
Too true.
Done.
Too true.
A-holes.
Screw Kmart!
I agree. I got
Screw Kmart!
Back.
Anyway, this has been Evangelist. And that's been Gog Dog, and that's been Super Underscore Megatron, and standing tall and proud against the menace of Kmart.
That's a final member of Alpha Flight.
Seth Buzzard, also known as Shaman. His mystical pouch contains a dimension full of mystical, otherworldly creatures and powers.
Yeah, if you want to hear more about how I hate Kmart, follow me on Twitter. At Twitter.com/SethBuzz.
Alright, that's a good
one. There's not a dot com in there anywhere?
Yeah, probably. Just throw some in the
Twitter
middle.
At SethBuzzard.com/
You'll get there.
Kmart.
Pick up your telephone, dial www.twitter. You'll find it.
Are we done?
Yes, I'm pushing stop.
Except for science.